over. Come on over. Been reading the Bible every day, praying every day. If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you one of these schedules. You don't have to read by schedule, but everyone that reads their Bible all the way through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free. That'll be some cold, chilly night in January, Friday night. And it'll be fun, food, and fellowship. Now, we've been in the book of Genesis for a while, and I want to go ahead and say that the first verse, Genesis 1:1, is the Word of God. And it's true, and you can trust. Actually, chapter 1, the whole chapter is true. It's the Word of God. You can trust. And really, if you think about it a little bit or don't think about it, believe it or don't believe it, the first 11 chapters are true. They're the Word of God. And really, the whole 50 chapters really are the Word of God. That's why we're in it, studying. And then, actually, the whole truth is the other 65 books, they're the Word of God too. You can trust your Bible, is what I'm trying to say. And we've been in Abraham. We've been on Abraham. We saw Abraham's Calvary last week. It was in verse 22. Maybe a glimpse of Calvary from the Father's eyes. All through the Bible, we see what it's like through the Son's eyes to go to Calvary, but what it was like in the Father's eyes. Now we're on chapter 23. It's Abraham's cave. You know, sometimes those tombs, those burials were a cave. The stone that was rolled away, it was rolled away from the face of a cave. That was like the cemetery. Let's look at it in verse 1, Genesis 23:1. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, and these were the years of the life of Sarah. We don't want to adore Mary. The Bible adores Sarah.
Right.
Now, it does say that Mary is blessed among women, not above women. We don't pray to Mary. Mary is not the mother of God. She's not a co-redeemer with Jesus, a co-mediator, nothing like that. The Bible lists up Sarah. Let's look at this a little bit. Living in America, 1 Peter, living in America, 2025, might be good just to read this. I was just going to read verse 6, but let's just read 1 through 6 here. 1 Peter 3, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, not somebody else's, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, the manner of life of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women, that is the holy women that did it, not all of them, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Well, that's Sarah. That's Sarah. Let's go back to chapter 23 now, verse 2. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same in his Hebron, the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. This is the first mention of the word weep in the Bible. In Revelation, you're going to hear it the last time. As a matter of fact, God's going to take away all tears
right
at the end there, and there'll be no more weeping in chapter 21. in chapter 5 in Revelation, they're weeping because no one's worthy. No one was found worthy to open the book. But in 21 Revelation, the tears will be wiped away forever. But to die for a Christian, for a Bible believer, let's look at it in Psalm 116. We might ought to look forward to it. It's just like going through a door. Nothing to be afraid of. The Lord went in front of us, preparing the way. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the capital Lord is the death of His saints. Now, I always get it backwards. We have a big party when a baby's born and cry when someone goes to heaven. But the Lord says it's precious. It's precious to go to heaven. I'm kind of interested, kind of looking forward to it. Philippians. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's profitable to go to heaven. It's gain. It's like interest, it's better than interest on your savings account. There is no soul sleep. It's, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. How about verse 23? For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better than what, Brother Rick? Well, far better than a Chevrolet. Far better than a brick house. Far better than hanging out around here. I tell you, it's going to be far better than you can imagine, than I can imagine, than we can put together and imagine. John 14. Don't get too excited. That's just where we're going. It's going to be our eternal home forever and ever. If you have Jesus in your heart, is who I'm talking to. Be like a magnet when He comes back. We're going up. Because a piece of Him's in my heart. And when He comes back, that's going to draw me up. And you up. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Yeah, amen, Brother Ted. Hey, if the Bible's true, there's nothing to worry about.
That's right. It's true.
Is it? Okay. All right, then. I'm going to start getting happy about it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's red letters, the Lord Jesus talking. God in the flesh is talking. In my capital F Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, got a place, Brother Steve. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Just talking about going to heaven now. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Guess what? No purgatory, no soul sleep. It's immediate. You're here, then you're there. Just like that. 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in 52. In a moment. That's 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. In the Old Testament, it's a mystery. It's not a mystery today, but we're so used to it, we take it for granted. We shall not all sleep. For a Bible believer, a death is called sleep. We're just going to sleep. But we shall all be changed. It's on the wall in the nursery. We won't all sleep, but we're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's when we get our new body. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus beat death, hell, and the grave, and we're behind him. He's got the machete cutting the trail. All we got to do is follow. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Philippians 3:21. Did we already read that? No, we didn't. Let's see. Philippians 3:21. We were in chapter 1. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body? I don't know about you, but those... I'm starting to ache in places I didn't even know I had places before. Doctor appointments on top of doctor appointments. That's getting ready to end. Yeah. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. To die for a Christian, that's what it's like for a Bible believer. For a sinner, it's eternal loss. Eternal loss. Let's go back to chapter 23, Genesis 23. Abraham's cave, the graveyard. 3 through 13 is going to be homework. That's Abraham's testimony. We already looked at Abraham's tears. And then 14 to 20 is Abraham's transaction. He buys the graveyard. Let's look at it starting in 17. In between there would be homework. And the field of Ephron, which was Machpelah, that's one reason it's homework. I can't pronounce all those names in between there. Which was before Mamre, the field and the cave, which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field that were in all the borders round about were made sure. Abraham bought the whole cemetery. And he paid the full price, the first price they asked for. He, even though he's the first Jew, he didn't try to Jew them down. My dad said, son, if you want it, buy it. If you don't want it, leave it alone. Don't talk them down. Don't do that stuff. So, okay. 18, unto Abraham for thy possession in the presence of the children of Heth before all that went in at the gate of the city. I think I hit a sore spot right there. Man, if they're just tightened up right there, preacher. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah's wife in the cave in the field of Machpelah before Mamre, and the same as he brought in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave is therein were made sure unto Abraham for possession of the burying place by the sons of Heth. Okay, that's the place. Machpelah means double. There's more than double. More than two get buried there. It's the family cemetery. Sarah's buried there. She's the only woman in the Bible that her age is given. Yeah. You never ask a woman her age. And it's only given at her death. It's the only time. Abraham's buried there in chapter 49. Isaac, Rebekah, and Leah, they're buried there in chapter 49. You read about it. Jacob's buried there in chapter 50. God never promised to take Abraham to heaven. That's for us. That's a mystery in the New Testament. We're going to heaven. Israel is an earthly people. God repeatedly told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land right here. That's why it's important to them where they're buried.
Right.
I don't care if you throw me out here in the ditch. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone.
Right.
But it was important to them where they got buried. That's their expected end. That's what they get. We get a lot better. It's a lot better in the Lord. In the Lord. Okay, chapter 24. One of my favorite chapters. We won't get done today. I'm sorry. Not really. I'm glad to come back to it. How about verse 1? And Abraham was old, well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Now, what's going to happen here? Abraham's getting ready to get Isaac a wife. Now, Esau picked his own wife. Matter of fact,
yeah.
Two wives.
Yeah.
Now, you can do that if you want to.
Yeah.
But young people, I tell you what, if there's any young people in here, I'd pray about this more than anything.
Yeah. Right.
I'd go ahead and start fasting.
Yeah.
I'd go ahead and start praying. Make sure you get the right one like I did.
Right.
I got the last good one. I hope you get a good one. I hope you do. Here we go again. Here we go again. Let's look at a couple of things about that. Matthew 22:2. My mom drilled in my head, son, you be sure you just get one chance. One chance. It's a lifetime. Matthew 22:2. My neighbor had a twin. He said when his brother was 20, he was 22. Matthew 22:2. I get to stuttering here. Matthew 22:2. And the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The king's really concerned about who his son marries. It's very important. Verse 2, back in Genesis 24. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. This servant had proved his faithfulness.
Yeah.
Proved. He got the authority because he'd been faithful and proved himself. Put, I pray thee, thy hand under thy thigh, under my thigh. Now, I don't know why they did that. They just went around back then putting their hand under the thigh. Kind of like us doing this. I swear. I promise. He's getting ready to promise something here. Let's look at John 16 and see about it. John 16, I think it's 13 and 14. It's an unnamed servant, by the way. In other places, another place we find out his name's Eliezer. At least I think that's the same servant. It might not be. But as far as we're concerned, in this chapter, he's unnamed. And right here in John 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, you could call him the Spirit of Truth. That's one of his names. But he doesn't have a name like Jesus, is what I mean, or Jehovah. Howbeit, when he, the capital S Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. That's what the servant's getting ready to do. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, red letters. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Son every time. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit never represents himself. He represents the Father and the Son. And that's what the eldest servant's getting ready to do here. It's a token of the Father's riches. He has the authority in the Father's house because he's earned it and been faithful. He's sent by the Father in the name of the Son. He's going to go for Isaac, but the Father's sending him to go for Isaac. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. He did not speak of himself in John 16:14. Look here, the Holy Ghost is going to lead him. John 16:14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In Genesis 24:34. When he gets to where he's going, he says, I'm Abraham's servant. Doesn't give his name. He's in the background always. In 35, he witnesses for the master. And the Lord, the big Lord, hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. Is Jesus great?
Yeah.
is Jehovah great? He hath given him flocks. See, we got the whole farm. When we got the Lord, when we got Jesus in our heart, we got everything. He hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. His father's rich. In 24:61 here, we see that the nameless servant guides the bride all the way home. Verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. His way is the Lord's way. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. That's what the Holy Spirit does. John 14:16 again. John 14:16. And I'll pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter. It's Jesus talking. There will be one come just like me, Jesus said, that He may abide with you forever. Is right. He's going to guide you all the way home. He's not going to quit. Sometimes we'll say, or maybe hear, the Lord's never... Hear this way. The Lord's never failed me yet. Well, guess what? I'm going to go ahead and tell you He ain't going to fail you. I'd say He's not going to fail you, but you might not understand that. I'm going to go ahead and say He ain't going to fail you. He's not going to fail you either one, whichever one you follow. He's not going to quit now.
Right.
Now in this chapter down through, well, that's just the introduction. Abraham's going to represent the father planning the marriage for the son.
Right.
And that's been going on ever since the day of Pentecost. That's why you're here this morning. That's how you got in. Isaac, he's going to be the son. Isaac done been offered up for the sacrifice. He done had the miracle birth. And now he seeks and loves the bride in the evening time.
Hello.
In the evening. Yeah. Rebecca, she's going to be the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the bride must answer, wilt thou go with this man?
Yeah.
We're going to see it in 24 here in verse 5. Genesis 24:5. Abraham says, now, this woman's going to have to be willing to follow me. And then again, verse 8, if the woman will not be willing to follow, she's going to have to answer that question. Willing to leave home to a far country, to a the world. The far country's the world. Rebecca's home. And in case I forget to say it sometime or other, this trip may be as much as 1,000 miles. It's not just around the corner. It's going to take at least a month to get there, the way they travel. Now, let's look at verses 3. We're back in Genesis 24:3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven. It's Abraham talking to the nameless servant. And the God of the earth, he's God of both, isn't he? That thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. What he's talking about is she needs to be homeborn, or what I'm talking about is she needs to be homeborn on this altar or another one just like it.
Yes,
if you've been here and got born again, you need to make sure that she's been to the same place and been born again. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
And I cannot overemphasize the importance of this. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son.
Yeah.
And the servant said to him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto the land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son again, my son hither again. He said, if she won't follow, don't bring anybody.
Right.
She won't follow, that's it. Now, it's talking about an unequal yoke. I'm going to read to you here about where an example I found in a book. Now, the daughters of Canaan were worldly, wicked, wanton crowd. They had no knowledge of the true living God. This fellow writing this book says, it's H.V. Morton. He said, once I saw a camel and a donkey harnessed to the same plow. The donkey had a terrible time of it. The camel obviously did not like being so closely tied to the opposite. The little donkey had all the weight of the yoke. Neither one nor the other could get in step.
Right. It don't work.
Now this is we're talking about marriage, but the same thing would apply in business or religion.
Yes. Yes.
That painted a picture for me that I can't get out of my mind. So where's the Abraham going to find this bride for Isaac? He's going to go back to his home country, back home, and get a bride. They're getting ready to start off. Let's look at verse 7. The Lord God of heaven took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred. This is where he's getting ready to send him. And was swearing to me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. There we go. Abraham's promised the land and Isaac. And he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear unto him concerning the matter. It must have been important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Must have been important. Verse 10. They're getting ready to start off now. And the servant took... I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'll be all right in a minute. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed.
Yeah.
For all the goods.
Yeah.
Of his master were in his hand.
Think about what we're reading.
And he arose and went to Mesopotamia. That's where Abraham's from, under the city of Nahor. Now, the first thing, at all right there, Abraham, what happens is he gives the unnamed servant the checkbook.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
In the Greek, that all means checkbook.
Oh, yeah.
And he signed the first check. He said, here, whatever it takes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's good right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me just go ahead and say, when the Lord left heaven to come for me, for you, it bankrupted heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had nothing left.
Right.
When the darling Son of God left heaven to come after us to get a bride, it bankrupted heaven. There was nothing left.
Yeah.
Now the ten, that represents the Gentiles. That's the number of Gentiles. You count to 9, and when you get to 10, Miss Ramsey taught us, you carry it up over the top. You carry one. Because 10 is Gentile. Yeah. Yeah. It's a Gentile number. That's how we count. We're on base 10. Computer's on base 2. We're on base 10. It's the Gentile. It took 10 camels to go get this bride.
Yeah.
And our Heavenly Father sent all He had when He sent His only begotten Son. Mays Jackson's got a sermon called A Camel Named Grace.
Yeah.
And us Gentiles, that's how we get in on this camel named grace.
Yes, amen.
Because we don't deserve to get in.
Right.
Think about it.
He didn't think I was worthy and said, oh, Brother Rick's worthy. I'm going to send the camel over and get him because he's so worthy. No. He said, I know Rick is unworthy and not worth shooting. I'll take a rope and not even waste a 22 shell on him. Take a rope so we can use it over and over. He ought to be hanged, but I will go get him anyway.
Yes, amen.
It's a camel named Grace. The reason is the camel, she got broad padded feet to stay on top of the world.
Yes.
They spread out like that and they stay on top of that sand, on top of the world. You can depend on her going across the desert. You can ride her all the way home. She's got thick padded knees that's comfortable kneeling.
Yes,
sir.
I think Brother Dennis told me I needed to kneel.
Yeah.
Didn't he tell me that?
Yeah, where's
that? That camel named Grace is going to be doing it. She's made for the storm.
Yeah.
Her nostrils are slits and they'll close up like that. And you don't have to put a handkerchief over her nose like the cowboys do, like John Wayne did when the sandstorm comes up. The camel's fit for the storm.
Yeah.
Anybody going through any storm?
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
She's got long eyelashes and lids so she can go like that when the storm comes and sand don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Camel named Grace does.
Yeah.
Grace is a servant. The camel named Grace is a servant. She can carry between 300 and 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Depending on which camel you get. She's a servant.
Yeah.
She loves it. Not only that, she's a provider.
Yeah.
She provides milk.
Yeah.
Now, I never drank camel's milk. I love goat milk. That's good stuff right there. Makes Kim puke, but I love it. Camel provides meat. There's some milk and meat in here and this camel named Grace on the way home. God's taking good care of us, providing all the way. Provide meat and hide. Use the hide to make these shoes I'm wearing. Wool to make clothes. The camel's provider, camel named Grace. You know, I didn't walk over this morning. Tank's full. Lord gave me something to ride over here. It's got air. I already flipped it on air, so on the way home it'll already be cooled off. He's providing for us all the way home. Camel named Grace, because she got thick hair and hide. She's not sin touchy like that woman over there you read about in the New Testament. Sin touchy, sensitive, can't say just every little thing offends her.
Yeah.
Not like that. The camel's got thick hide.
Yeah.
She don't care.
Right.
She's not sensitive like Barney. But he was only sensitive because his mommy was sensitive, running the family. The camel named Grace, that fat hump, it stores up water and food for days and days. Brother Dennis said we need to go every morning. Every morning. Let's see what Job says in 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Which do I do first? What's Brother Rick do first? Read the Bible or eat first in the morning? Which one do I do? Which one do I do? Well, one more thing. I think we've got time to get this prayer in. It's back in Genesis 24. Verse 12, and the unnamed servant, he's going to be praying for the master. For the master. Verse 12. Did I have this right? Did I read 10 and 11? I didn't read 11, did I? Let's read 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city, so they done went 1,000 miles now. You don't have to believe me on 1,000 miles if you don't want to, but it's been a month anyway. Maybe 2 months. and they knelt down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, here's the servant praying. He said, O Lord God, the of my master Abraham. Wonder where he learned that. It's in Abraham's house. I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. The servant's praying for his master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men are come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same girl be she that hath appointed for thy servant, that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and hereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And we're going to have to quit, but let me tell you what that prayer entailed here. Been a while since I looked this up, but the average camel can hold 53 gallons. I'm thinking the biggest camel holds 70 gallons, little one 40 gallons, but I averaged it out and it's 53. Now, how many camels were there?
10.
10 times 53, that's 530 gallons. The servant said, Lord, I pray that the woman, the wife you want for my master, when I ask for a drink of water, she'll say yes. Let me also water those camels for you. Next week we'll try on the rest of the story. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for coming so far. For me, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.